Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Happy Foot, Sad Foot. I'm Darren Miller.
I'm Vince LaRosa, and we just watched a game, Darren. That was a game. Things happen. Like lots of things happened.
In that game. There were a lot of events.
Yeah, for being. By the way, can I say can we not wear the green jerseys in the daytime? I don't know what it is. It makes my eyes kind of hurt.
It seems like we always do.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what
that's
about.
It's not great for the definition out there. Like, they pop a little bit at night, but during the day, just really kind of, I don't know, made me feel a little lazy.
Yeah. Well, so did they. Travis is not joining us today. He's out with a concussion. He's day-to-day. He'll be joining us. Looks like he'll be out 2 to 4 days. Looks like LAFC played... like the tiredness of those kits, and like maybe they also all had concussions. Honestly, the big thing for me, it just felt like they looked like they were playing in Colorado the whole time.
Sure.
I cannot think of there can't possibly be another stadium in the MLS that has so much home field advantage with so little activity. It's like the worst vibe I can possibly imagine. They do a really good job at Dick's Sporting Goods Park of replicating the vibe of a Dick's Sporting Goods store.
It feels like a mall. Like there's just a lot of people kind of meandering around and loitering, but like some people are into the game, other people are like, oh hey, did you notice there's a soccer game going on? And then they keep walking, but they're inside a stadium.
Yeah. Oof. Wow. Really sad. Okay, we'll get into the game. What the fuck was that?
Exactly. If I was Steve right now, I would like wait a couple minutes and then just walk in and say exactly what you said. Like start to talk and they go, wait, what the fuck was that? Like what happened here, guys?
They had, in the first half, things looked okay.
Sure.
Things looked like Colorado was playing surprisingly well, but we were kind of okay. We didn't look great, but it looked like, okay, if things stay this way, it's not a huge problem. And things did not stay that way. Not even a little bit.
To stick with the concussion reference, it's like LAFC constantly just bonked their head on their own goalpost and then went out there to try to, like, it just, so many chances were like, it's not even about killing off the game. It's just about understanding what's going on in the game and where you're at in the score, where you are in the country and the fact that there's altitude. And they just seem to have zero awareness of anything around them. And honestly, had they gotten, you know, at 2-1, they should have felt pretty fortunate, to be honest. It was just like an individual bit of brilliance. They didn't really earn much. But then, first half even, I thought they were pretty good. Colorado was okay. They were moving the ball around, but they weren't really testing LAFC. And then LAFC loses complete focus on a corner. Colorado gets a goal and it's like, oh no, it's a game now. And that was just, like I said, that was just the start of many missteps from LAFC. David Martinez is going to really want that one back on a day that he probably would have remembered fondly, but he was not the only one. It was a lot of guys that really just put a wrong foot forward to end that match.
He really underlined a lack of discipline that it seemed like everyone, the broadcast, the commentators mentioned it at one point, that it was just like every pass seems slightly off. It was every pass was a little bit not hard enough, not too hard, on the wrong foot. And he was right. It was like they were dogging it by like the 50th minute. It was just like, oh, they're tired. It was like halftime gave them a chance to realize how tired they were. And then they came out like with nothing really left in the second half.
To your point, yeah, when you play like that and you have no rhythm, you have to start playing the way, you know, LAFC was having to just go for the killer blow every single time. And then now you're running 60 yards downfield every single time you can win the ball. And Colorado was smart. They were like, well, we're not going to get in a transition game with you. We'll just keep the ball again and we'll bide our time and get more numbers forward. And LAFC, it's like, you know, to reference it like across another sport, like if you give a professional quarterback time to just sit there forever in the pocket, he's going to find a pass. And LAFC, by kicking the ball forward every single time, losing it and then having to drop back, like they're just giving more and more time for Colorado to get forward, to get players into positions to hurt them. And they did. But what's sad is still in the end, like it came down to LAFC. Like Murray steps forward when he probably should have just hung back. Eddie has to foul that guy. Free kick goal. Obviously the red card is what contributes to the inability to cover, you know, slide over and cover the man for the third goal. So it's like you still had chances to win the game or else leave there with a point. And again, the awareness for sure. And the mentality, I think, is going to really piss Steve off more than anything.
Definitely. Definitely. I think we... kind of a healthy amount of happy foots and sad foots here, because at a certain point it could have gone either way. So I have a few of everything. I think we should get it started, and then we've got some guests. I'll start with some happy feet. I the goals are the obvious ones. It's great to see Atuesta keep scoring. That was a nice goal. Aaron Long, even I don't know about the rest of his game, but in that goal he kind of got in the way of the keeper's vision, which was good in that moment. I hesitate to say anything great about him given the rest of the match, but I did notice that one thing. And obviously David Martinez came in a little earlier than normal in a 1-1 game, so I was like, I was thinking about what you have said in the past where he's out there in kind of YOLO time, and this felt a little bit less YOLO time, and he got a chance to kind of like warm up and like get that goal. Also had a chance to feel a little too comfortable maybe and just get careless. So that turns it into a sad foot. I don't know. What do you got?
I honestly don't really have. I mean, the goals were nice, but they were just two individual bits of brilliance from Atuesta and Martinez. Mm-hmm. Like, it really is. It just all boils down to, like, Martinez is 18 years old, so I don't want to hammer him too much, but like hopefully he just walks away from this and like he already knows. Like you would hope that you don't have to say anything to him. Like he knows he's fucked up.
Yeah.
And like he you put think, his
it
team
like
really,
he could tell in the moment.
Yeah, he put his team really under it. But then the rest of those guys in the locker room still have to look around and go, like, we still had chances to win this game. We still did not recognize the moments when, like, LAFC just it's funny because they're not patient with the ball and they're not patient without it too. I think there's too many instances where they're like they so badly want the ball back because they want to score a goal because it looks. You know, you score another goal and you really kill off that game. But there's times when you really just got to sit back and not make a challenge. And I want to go back to Murray stepping halfway, opening up a channel, and then Eddie having to make that foul. That results in a very dangerous free kick. And there were just so many similar moments like that where it was like, recognize what's going on here and understand to be a little more patient and work as a team as opposed to being like a hero ball. I'm going to step in. I'm going to make the big play. I'm going to blow this up. I think that that's something that the team needs to really sit down and understand together. And that's a mentality thing. And so that's a sad foot, but I guess in the grand scheme of things, it's like, it still could be a lot worse. Like you think that should be fixable because they're professionals, but this is definitely a worrying moment on the road.
Yeah. Last week had a way of erasing a lot of sky is falling talk from us because they came out and just showed us who they hopefully really are. And this week is like, okay, now we're back to where we were before. So I don't know where that leaves us, which is the perfect time to bring on our first guest, the heel of the foot, Jeff Tok, who I'm sure you've got a lot to say after a match just like that. Jeff, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. So do you guys want to practice our excuses for losing to the Galaxy, or like our comebacks? Like, I think I'm going to go with...
That's a good time for that,
It's a long season. It's a long season, you know? Let's see what happens after the break. Or, I don't know, maybe beat us when it matters. How many championships do you have since we got here? Like, we're going to have to pull all those out, and we're going to have to really mean them. So I would say let's all get really method and really believe those, because we're going to get absolutely fucking waxed against these guys. Like, they're really good this year. And, like, we have a team that allegedly is one strike away from competing in Giroud, right? And we're letting in three goals to the Colorado Rapids. Like, that's going to be really, really bad. And so, again, like, I think Thorington has earned a lot of trust on our parts, right? He's bought in a lot of great players. You know, like, Martinez is spectacular. Like, we should be really happy that guy's here, even if he's an idiot. Or was an idiot during that play, right? But, like, we don't have anybody that can pass out of the back, and I don't understand it. I guess here's the thing. We haven't seen Maxime Cheneau play yet. Like, I think Vince, you would know better than me, but that's the guy that you would say is our replacement to be able to keep possession and play out of the back, is that guy. But, like, until that guy gets in and until Giroud gets here, like, it's going to be a long fucking – it's going to be a long spring, fellas. We're going to have a lot of, like, sad trying to think of happy feet, because it's just – like, that 5-0 is really, really, really nice and everything, but, like, we don't look good defensively. And, like, if we don't look good defensively, like, against the Colorado Rapids, fellas, who are starting Kevin Cabral, who, like – turned his back on that first goal in a way where I was like, somebody paid him, man. Like, somebody should check Cabral's FanDuel account, is all I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, there's nobody on Colorado that's more upset that they won than Kevin Cabral. But, like, it's really, if we can't play defensively well, Giroud's not going to matter, because we're not going to get him the ball in positions where he's going to be able to succeed. And if we keep giving up dumb set piece goals, which we had two of, and, like, somebody that's smarter than me about goalkeeping will tell me why he didn't move on the second one. I would personally, if I were a goalie, would move toward the ball when it's being kicked at the goal. But, you know, it's each their own. You know what I mean? He won a World Cup and I didn't. But
I mean, he hit that ball with a lot of pace. I don't know. I'm gonna guess that ball was going at least 65 miles an hour. So
don't you dive to just show that you're trying? Don't you, like, just at least move somewhat? Like,
so Jeff, you want our 37-year-old goalkeeper to dive just because, and maybe crack a rib, and then who's in goal? No, I don't want him to crack a rib.
He's a professional athlete. He's not going to crack a rib diving. It's frustrating. It's a frustrating game. I'll beat up Lloris more, like Adam Lizakov more. But I will also say that my biggest hot take is that I miss Brian Rodriguez, that Brian Rodriguez is better than Kike Oliveira, and we should be thankful that we had Brian Rodriguez if we're going to replace him with Kike. That he's just been really bad. Rodriguez was better. Rodriguez played with more pace. Rodriguez played with more passion. Rodriguez was putting balls in the middle a lot better. Rodriguez had that spectacular goal against the Galaxy. What's Kike ever done? Nothing, man. Nothing. So
You're just saying things to say things.
I couldn't get out of the train last time. I've been teed up. I've got a couple games worth of takes in me. You know what I mean?
No, this is a match where we'll let you say what you got to say. I feel like this is the one where you're allowed to say whatever you got.
But I just want to caveat it. Those are always only Jeff's thoughts, because there's no chance that Oliveira is not, that Brian Rodriguez has more passion, that he puts more balls in the middle. He definitely doesn't defend as well as Oliveira. Oliveira probably even has more goals than Brian Rodriguez, close to as many goals as Brian Rodriguez. Boys, it's like 3-5. Like, come on.
Let's put it this way. Do you remember that first Galaxy playoff win where Brian Rodriguez takes that turn and he drives the ball the entire way through and then does the stop, drags his foot, puts it in, and then puts it on front,
when he's playing on the statistically greatest MLS team of all time? Yeah, I do remember that. I do remember that. When they were flying high? Yeah, I remember that.
I haven't seen anything like that from Kike. You know what I mean?
Jeff, it's still the game was still tied and still took a lot from LAFC to win that game. Like, Brian Rodriguez is a fine player, but come on. Like, we need to get off this. Like, they're two different players, and if people are going to continue to hold on to it, then you're never
going
to
understand what's going on. We need to get off this. No one said this. I am the only person in the world that is coming with a pro Brian Rodriguez take in 2024. I promise you. You
will not have another person. At this point, I think the whole conversation is kind of a red herring.
I mean comparing them in general. That's what I mean. That's where the red herring comes in. Like, they're not. They're just not.
Two Uruguayan guys in the same team. We played the same position.
Well, because one's gone.
So you guys are actually mad. Okay, I think we've stepped into you guys being actually mad. I apologize. I'm sorry. I won't compare anymore.
No. I think it's a fair point. Honestly, it's just not like worth like having a whole conversation about it. Like, he's gone. If anything, we're looking at Martinez now to be the antidote to Rodriguez, ideally. And it seemed like putting Martinez in this game a little bit earlier was Dolo's way of giving him like a legit shot to kind of like start to slowly eat at Oliveira's time, which seems like what should continue to happen. So that's what should happen. I mean, Oliveira had one of those chances right in front of the keeper today that was just like, in a vacuum, I'm not so mad at it, but like it's happened like four times this season now where it's like, you got to think of a different move than just like,
sure.
Like, it's got to be clear that you tried a different thing. It might not work.
There's nothing else to do there. Watch the play again. The ball's so it's a horrible back pass. He runs it down. The ball, he gets a little bit ahead of it and then basically has to reset his feet. Really what you should look at is Zach Steffen makes an incredible play there and understands that Oliveira's rushing and he gets there into a space and basically cuts down the entire angle. So yeah, he kicks it into the goalkeeper, but I guarantee you a lot of players would do the same. And yes,
sure.
It a chance?
It's happened a lot.
Is it a half chance? Or maybe? Yeah, but is it like I'm seeing people say it's a sitter? Like this is not.
I don't think it is. I agree. I think it's a really difficult chance. I do, but he's had that exact chance like four times this season, and he's done the exact same thing every time. He's just put it right at the.
He shot at goal.
I would like to see him like try to chip the goalie and miss or
the Rapids are tearing us apart, fellas. Don't let him do
You want him to do the more difficult thing. Cause I would say this, if he is missing those chances, I would keep it simple. Don't try to chip the guy all of a sudden. You don't have that swagger. You can't do that. Like you gotta still just try to do the things that you do. Get it to a corner. And look, Stefan's a good goalie.
It was not low. It was at his hands.
The only angle we saw was from the side. I would love to see an angle from the back, and I would love to see how much of the goal he actually had to shoot at. But again, it's just like I'm not absolving him. Like I would still think it would be very nice for him to score there, and you should probably get a better shot off. But then when people are like it's a sitter, or somebody says to me, Martinez would have scored that, I was like, no, I'm pretty sure I've seen Martinez 1v1 with a goalkeeper, and he hit it over the entire net, like. Yes, he scored this other time, but the first time we saw it, he did the same thing. So, like, guys, this happens. Like, I don't know. Soccer's hard.
Every time Martinez does anything, you're like, that guy's cool. Like,
he's just a swaggy, cool dude.
He and, like, he's got but that, maybe, like 2000s emo kid thing where he wears his sleeves all the way up to, like, over his thumbs. You know what I mean? It looks like he's about to go play in a screamo band. He's like the bass player for like your fourth best screamo band in Tampa. You know what I mean?
He's like that real, kid on the, real cool he's like the kid on the youth team who's got like his jersey's a little too big, and then he's like chewing on his sleeve.
I feel like having played soccer for a long time in Los Angeles that you're always playing on some league game, and there's like a dude just like, I'm gonna bring my cousin. You're like, all right, man, we need players, whatever. Bring your cousin. And he shows up, and you're like, this kid is 10 years younger than everybody else, and this is either going to be the best or the worst kid in the world. And David Martinez is the best kid. I mean, like, he steps on, you're like, oh, we have an entirely new team. We might have a new generation of players. You start thinking about, like, 3 years from now, maybe we'll move up a couple divisions. Like, he's that kind of guy. And, like, I love him so much, and I wish he didn't do that dumb shit with the second yellow, man.
That was
so. Like, that's a second. Like, here's the thing. It's also – I saw some people online. I'll do the Vince thing where I get mad at what people said on the internet. Like – people being like, it should have soft second yellow. It's like, no, he stood there, got mad that the guy pulled him down, and then kicked the ball away. It's the most obvious second yellow in the entire world. And if somebody in the Galaxy did it, we'd be irate that they didn't give him a second yellow. I actually thought the reffing was good today. So they say pro union reffing, pretty good referee job. Didn't think it was that bad. Not a lot of questionable calls. Nobody got mad at the ref too much. You know, maybe that they should have let it roll a little bit in the end of the first half, but pretty good. You know, much better than the Scab refs.
That's my one complaint with the refs. I did see a lot of chatter with the refs, people not being happy with the refs. I didn't have too much of a problem with it. I do think it was complete bullshit that they called halftime when the ball just landed at Bouanga's feet right outside the box, covered by no one. I think that's obscene. Other than that, it looked like he spent his whole time off getting a haircut. That was like an extremely meticulous haircut he had. That was weird, but that's the only thing I noticed with the ref.
Yeah, and that's what you want. Some nice hair product.
I also think we might have gotten away with towards the end there, after they'd already tied it up, or maybe it was even 3-2 at that point. I think Bogusz might have had a handball in the box that they just kind of let go. We might have gotten away with one there.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it was kind of
questionable.
It was like what is he going to do there? The ball came up real quick, and his hands just kind of hit it. I saw that too, and then I was I'm fine with that either way. But yeah, the ref was fine. Like
it was fine.
If
nice you have PRO patch on his jersey,
and in shape,
an official.
He was in shape, man. Ref donut belly. That guy's toned, man. He can do the whole game. He's running around.
Although we give a lot of shit that we gave to the. To the Scab refs was like, look at all these cards they're throwing out. There were plenty of cards in this game too.
Well, there's a lot of fouls. I think to go back to the point we talked about earlier, like the poor passing leads to desperation and guys just diving in and leaping in. I think he was smart to give that yellow card to Mihaljevic when it was maybe his first foul, but he had already told them, guys, if you keep fouling Tillman, I'm going to give you a yellow card. So I do like that when the referee does what he says. What drives me crazy when the referee's like, no more. And then a guy gets 2, 3, 4 more. So I'm glad that he got that one. I guess, and people are now referencing in the comment, the kick to Bouanga, we didn't see any more angles of it. I would have liked to, and I could give you a much more definite. At first I thought, yeah, it looked pretty bad, but then I didn't see another angle of it, and no one really protested it all that much. So I can't tell you for sure. Everyone's making it seem like he got his head knocked off, and that's not what I saw in the first place, but I would have liked to see a different angle, and I could have given you a better reference.
And that's reviewable, that VAR can go back and look at that. So if VAR looked at it and they didn't think it was a penalty, then it's like you would say that the lead ref might not be able to see it, and then if it's clear and obvious, they'd go back. And if they didn't go back, then that's on VAR more than it's on the head ref.
That's the thing. And that's not on the referees. Like, that's just on our general take of MLS, right? A lot of people just believe they're hiding stuff and they're complicit in some of these things. Like, most leagues would show a replay of that. I guarantee you the VAR saw it, like Jeff said, but we didn't. And so that leads us all to get our tinfoil hats on and start to figure stuff out. I think most leagues would have shown that. We would have had a chance to make a decision for ourselves.
Yeah. I would like to think that in 2024, we've all accepted that there are no big, vast conspiracies, that everybody's just really stupid and that's why bad stuff happens. You know what I mean? The idea that there's a vast overreaching conspiracy, I think, has been just debunked by idiocy at this point. You know what I mean?
By 3,000 years of human civilization, mostly.
Yeah, but some of these times you think the government's competent or people are competent, and it's just the center can't hold, fellas. You know what I mean?
Deep.
I just want to let that sit.
I know. I felt
that's
like
where we're at. That's where we're at.
I wish I had like a mini gong. I could have just
there is one thing I think that is worth. I have an open question that is worth bringing up.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high end goods for 50% to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Larice, some people I'm seeing in the chat, some people are saying he was shaky today, a little too shaky. the goals were the kind of goals where it's like, I feel like it's 50-50 whether you're going to say, what's he going to do? Or he should have had better reaction time? Or I don't know. They were close goals. What did you think from him today?
So the first goal, I think he could have been a little bit better, but that was, you know, soft defending. The free kick, I honestly have no qualms with what happens there. Like, it's 18 yards out. It's a Jordi Mihaljevic is a very good player, very good striker of the ball. He hits it hard. He hits it right into the corner. Yeah, if Lloris thinks he's going to hit it right to that corner, maybe he can get there in time. But, like, the reaction – watch it again. Like, the reaction time he would have had to even make an incredible dive. Like, that would have been an incredible save to save that. So I'm not going to take that.
Sure.
And then the third one, that's just a comedy of errors. I mean, it bungles in. Like, if you're a goalkeeper and you're now in a situation where the ball is bouncing around, the last thing you're thinking is going to come off a guy's thigh. So you're kind of – you're not seeing it properly, and it unsights you, you know, gets you leaning the wrong way. I don't blame the third goal really on him, but maybe the first, if I watch it again, I did feel like he could have gotten more on it and maybe kept it out of the net at the near post. But ultimately you're going to look at it and say, like, you guys need to focus more and not give a free header away on a corner kick.
I share Vince's sentiments that I think that Lloris is, you can say some of those are 50-50, but like, who am I grumpier at? Like, I'm madder at the defense. I'm madder at these guys for giving up dumb fouls. Or, I mean, that's not a dumb foul. You have to take the foul. But for Maria to step into that position in a foolish way, and then for Aaron Long to be late rotating on the other side on the third goal, you know, I don't, as much as I jokingly want to be like, oh, you should dive or whatever, like, I don't care. He's a World Cup winner. Like, if we can't do anything with a World Cup winner in goal, like, I think that we have to look at the field players more than the goalie, at least to start. Like, he's got to give up some real soft ones before we can give him shit. And think about, like, Maxime let in some soft ones, guys. You know what I mean? Like, Maxime had a couple of ones where he would come 40 yards up and, like, they'd almost chip him. And it's not as if Maxime is playing heads and shoulders over Lloris or anything like that. And Lloris is here for $350,000. You got to treat him like a guy who's here for $350,000, not what we think. You know, he's not a DP. He's not Tim Howard playing for the Rapids 3 or 4 years ago. So, no, I think ultimately the back line's the problem with those goals at the moment. And, you know, I wonder what you think, Vince, of if we have enough midfielders or if we have the right amount of or the right kind of midfielders at this point. Because I feel like it's three dribbly boys and not a lot of breaking anything up.
I mean, we were spoiled the last game in the way that they got ahead and then they were able to control the game. And I thought they started like they wanted to control the game and then just gave it up. I was actually going to go back to Lloris, and I don't think this is all to blame, but like the goal kicks were shambolic. Like all Colorado had to do was just stand there, and no one seemed to have any idea how any angles to pull any passes off. And I'll go back to your previous point, Jeff, about like center backs. We don't have center backs that can pass. I get it. Like I would love a center back like a Giorgio. Maxime Cheneau is a pretty good ball playing center back. Actually, is a pretty good comp for Giorgio. Like he's just a tenacious guy. Really goes in with everything. He's as we learned from Tom Bogart. He does not quit easily, and he definitely takes umbrage with a lot of things. But he can also play a little bit. But the thing is, like, not a lot of teams in this league have really good ball playing center backs. If you're telling me that they can defend the way that they should, that's all I worry about. And the midfield, to your point, Jeff, like they should be able to figure out angles and figure out ways to pick up the ball to drive this team forward. And whether it was sloppy passing, them being winded from the sloppy passing and from the altitude, like they disappeared in this game. And it turned into LAFC, like kick the ball downfield, see what can happen. And for a minute there, they were going to steal 3 points, but then they just had zero recognition of how poorly that set them up for the rest of the game. And then they got steamrolled. Like they were a house of cards in this match.
They really were. No poise. They were not able to keep anything together. Well, I want to throw this. There was one comment over the course of that Lloris talk, and we don't have to spend too much time on this, but Tim Morgan made an interesting point in the chat that I think was, I was thinking this too a little bit. He said the second goal is all his fault. He tells the wall where to go and then does not cover his part of the goal. I don't know that I would say that exact part of the goal that was maybe an impossible place to cover was his responsibility, but I did find it very surprising how open that path was that the ball took to the net. And when they showed the replay, there was nobody even – like the wall did not extend to that area. Lloris's range did not extend to that area. So that's a wide open part of the net. Should that be a wide open part of the net?
That's why you don't give up a set piece from 18 yards out. Like, you can't cut. Like, they already had, what, five guys in the wall and a guy on the ground? So at that point, Colorado is saying, okay, you're giving us six guys. Basically, you're saying six guys can be open now. So, like, look, there's only so much. That's why a lot of times, like I said, you go back to don't give up that set piece in that kind of area. You put your team under serious duress, and those are the kinds of things that can happen when you give up those kinds of set pieces.
And I think it's always our thing to blame the goalie on a set piece when who gave up the fucking set piece, man? You know what I mean? Like I think it's the thing of, like, we always watch the ball under the goal, and so therefore it has to be the last guy who was in the way or whatever. And it's like, no. Like, the problem there is that Murillo steps, forces Segura to make a great foul that he has to make. But it gives him the ball. He hit it like a fucking maniac. And, like, again, I'm doing a bit about how he should move. But, like, the World Cup winner at keeper who's here for $350,000 is not the fucking problem. The problem is that we're not defending well. Like, that's the problem. And, like, we can yell at Lloris because of our high expectations. But he's being paid to play how he's playing. He's being paid to play much worse than how he's playing. You know what I mean? $350 for a guy like that is a very low salary. And if we're spending more in other parts of the field, and those people might rhyme with Aaron Long aren't stepping up to play at that money level. And we have two open DP spots. Like, we're a work in progress till the summer, I think.
It rhymes with Aaron Long. Mm-hmm. Who is it? Let me think.
Baron Gong is actually being paid $750K just to Dan.
I was going to say, because Murillo's name doesn't rhyme with
Murillo. Murillo doesn't make as much, right? What's Murillo? Not that
much. He's in the upper 600s.
Yeah. I wish, here's the other thing. Yeah. I wish that we actually knew what the cap was and that we could actually have this conversation in, like, practical terms rather than, like, guessing at how much space we have and all the rest of it.
But, yeah. To me, that question is less about blame and less about Lloris. For me, I'm more curious about, like, how open can you expect the net to be generally on a free kick like that? Like, how much are you saying, like, okay, like, you know, 15% of the net is going to be open. There's nothing we can do about it. And that's what this kind of kick is.
I mean, I wish I could give you a
percentage. Oh, I'm not looking for a number, but I'm.
No, I mean, look, you try to lessen the percentages, you pick the thing that, like, puts them off the most. But, like, yeah, he hit it in the one spot, like, you probably wouldn't even expect him to try to hit it there, and he executed it perfectly. Like, yeah, it would be one thing if that ball was much lower, it wasn't hit with that kind of pace, then I would be like, yeah, bro, you got to cover that. Like, he didn't do his side of the job, but, like, Mihaljevic executed that to a T. He wanted to go in that corner and put it exactly where he wanted to put it.
I will say, I wish that we made it a little more clear that this was the case and it didn't muddy this up by playing so poorly. But I think, I can't believe I'm saying this, but the Rapids played really well. Like,
the Rapids aren't the very least team.
Do we need to disclose that Darren's close personal friend runs the Rapids? We need to just get that out. That
we should just
Darren
that.
Has the name of the GM. Like, it's probably texted him between the game ending and jumping on this podcast.
I have not.
We're trying to get him to come on the podcast when they're out here. How dare you?
He should get on the podcast because he created a team that beat us. Like, they've had a great offseason. Like, and I'm saying that as a guy who doesn't want Darren's personal relationships to go well. I think, they brought in, like, an X-Man City keeper. Like, that's amazing. Like, they brought in Mihaljevic is really good.
And not
really
just him. Yeah. Objectively, you got to say, like, a team that, like, they brought Cole Bassett before this window, but bringing him back, keeping him, Mihaljevic, Sam Vines, Zach Steffen, like, they had Navarro. So, like, it's a pretty good team. It's just, like, they're putting things together. They obviously got a coach in place that's now trying to put a system in place. And let's go back to the very, very beginning. Like, home field advantage is very real there in Colorado, and they use that to their advantage. They recognize the game state, whereas LAFC was like,
insane.
If we just keep kicking it away from our goal, maybe we'll be okay. And they're like, guys, you have no clue, like, what is going to happen to you right now as we just roll downhill. And that's all they did. They just continued to come back at them in a smart, like, pragmatic way, and they got numbers forward, and LAFC had no outlets to get out. It was smart. LAFC didn't recognize the game state. Colorado, for being a young team and a team that hasn't been together for very long, knew exactly what they were doing.
Yeah, I think we're all very lucky as American sports fans that every owner in Colorado is kind of cheap. You know what I mean? Like the Nuggets finally are good after 20 years. Like finally Kroenke's playing.
Because they have a generational player that's like Superman.
Imagine if they cared. You know what I mean? Imagine if they cared more. We'd be in deep shit.
The Avalanche were good for a while. Is hockey
I also
– Are we talking about hockey here?
Hockey's fair.
I think we could have – we didn't point this out that Minnesota played particularly well against us too. We didn't really say that. I'm used to – It only last season, I think we beat ourselves a lot. And that was kind of the only way we lost. And it happened way too much. But this season, so far, I'm noticing teams beat us. And in this case, both happened, I think.
So I'm actually going to disagree with you. I think last season, the scheduling and the inability to rotate players really put us up against it.
Yeah.
This year, and now that we've seen this, like we're beating ourselves. So this team has to learn what it can and can't do. And again, how to understand moments in games. That's the biggest takeaway for me in this is just like, they didn't understand at 2-1 up at altitude in a game that we probably had no business being 2-1 up. It's like, get everyone compact and just like ride it out and don't get another yellow card.
They did seem a little ill-prepared for what seemed like an obvious thing you need to prepare for. Which is a bummer, a real bummer.
The signs were there. I mean, they had no outlets. They were kicking the ball down the field. I mean, literally, that's all they were doing. And luckily, Martinez latched onto one and put one in the back of the net. But had we would have been saying, like, why do they keep just kicking the ball down the field and running after it?
Isn't it such a bummer that, like, he scored the best goal? Like, that was so cool, man. That's the coolest fucking goal. And then he immediately does the dumb shit. So we can't even be like, hey, man, it's going to be fun once Martinez gets going. It's like...
God, I know.
It's so stupid. Like a celebration too, man.
An awesome celebration.
Very classy. Very cool. I mean, just what a weirdo. I love. I mean, I feel like he's going to either be like our favorite guy ever, because I think that's the. I'd be interested to see what you think about this, Vince. That I feel like of our young guys, he's got the highest ceiling of anybody that's played for us. That Carlos Vela obviously played a really high level, Bale, etc. But like, we might get to watch him play like in the Premier League on a really good team. You know what I mean? Like that might be a thing where we all become. You know, Leeds fans for 2 years because he signs he gets sold over there or whatever. I think he's the most exciting thing every week for me, where I'm the most excited to see what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. And then he fucks me. And I was like talking to my kids about like, look at this kid, man. He's going to be great. Like you guys should be like that someday. And then immediately
you should learn from him.
Yeah. Hey, I was like, let him be your mentor and everything and all things in life, children. Yeah.
All right. We've got another caller. Jeff, any parting words before we say goodbye?
No, I said a bunch of crazy stuff to make you guys mad, and it worked. And then I feel like if I say more crazy stuff on the way out, it's going to go poorly. But remember, Brad Rodriguez is better than
no. But I think
we should talk about it. We should keep talking about it.
Well, thank you for joining us as always.
Hi, Jeff.
We've got LAFC Luke. Yes, joining us now.
Hi,
going
guys.
On a walk to cool off. I assume. I doubt you made the trip to Colorado.
No. Nope.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a palm tree behind him. I don't think there's any palm trees out there.
A beautiful day.
Just walking home after the Pride Republic watch party, which was exciting. Oof. And then sad and then excited and then sad and then mad.
Sure.
That sums it up pretty well. It took us 35 minutes to get to a perfect summation of the match. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Any happy foots or sad foots that you
I mean, I feel like they both belong to the same player we were just talking about, but my happy foot, we were all so happy in the bar. Like, we were just like, the bar erupted when Martinez hit that goal that he never should have gotten, but like his just sheer force of will and determination and pinpoint accuracy getting past Stefan in the corner. Like, it was beautiful. That the play that he made in the box to get past the defender. I mean, it was just everything about that was just magical. And then that stupid yellow, which I don't know. I mean, Vince, you can say if that was really a yellow or not. It felt to me like Mihailovic was schmacking pretty badly and just got the call.
Oh, he didn't get it for the foul.
Oh, he got it for barking at the referee.
He got it for kicking the ball away well after the play. It was just very stupid and right blatantly in the face of the referee.
Okay, well, then he deserved it, and he screwed us over.
Yeah.
He screwed us over.
He's young. So. He's 18. Like, you. So it's funny because like sometimes you do stuff like that and like the referee just kind of is like, don't do that. But you just have to understand, like, you're already on a yellow. Like, right. If you get a yellow for that and that's your first yellow, then even that's dumb. But like in that moment, and again, but he's 18. Like, I don't necessarily totally expect him to understand that lesson. You just have to hope that in on the day that probably was like one of his greatest professional achievement days and now one of his lowest, that like you probably don't, like, honestly, I hope you don't have to say anything to him. Like, you literally just go like, you know, like, you
here's
know
a,
what happened.
Here's
but.
A question. Is he out now for the Derby?
Yes.
Of course he is. Yep. You gotta miss one game.
That's something, because it also seems like we're going to need every weapon we've got, which isn't a ton. Kai Kamara. Welcome to the team.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see him go in there. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. I do hope, though, that the, given what we just saw, that the guys are fired up this coming Saturday. Not that they need an additional reason to be fired up, but come on now. I don't know. I'm not feeling great about this season so far, y'all. I'm just going to be candid. Yeah, last week felt like, I don't know if this is a good thing or not. I think I said that on the show, like, I'll feel good about it, but I also didn't really know if it's real or not. And I think we're seeing more what's real here, which is a team that put it all out there for 80 minutes and then just kind of came unglued and exhausted at the end and just looked bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's been tough because the wins have looked really, really good and the losses have looked really, really bad. So it's really hard to judge. And I think the best thing we've got going for us is not really the wins and not really the record, but just the fact that we're in the West. And I think it's going to be a while before we really slip too far to be like totally out of contention. So if we can find a way to pull things together, I think it'll be a while before it's too late. So hopefully that can happen. But
I think we're still above the playoff line.
Yeah, I think we are.
Whatever which, that is. And we have,
yeah, I mean, imagine
you care about until like games? September.
I mean, I'd be like, if we had this kind of start and we were in the East, it'd be like, all right, we're done. I don't know.
No one's done. No one in MLS is done, honestly, until September.
Sure, but I'd be feeling a lot more despair, I'd say.
Yeah, and look, it was like, this team is like the feeling that, Luke, you guys had there at the watch party. Like, it's a roller coaster. We got to see like the highest of highs and an incredible individual goals and the lowest of lows. And the problem right now is like, you don't want your team's floor and ceiling to be so far apart. Like, it's nice to have a team that does have a high ceiling that makes us feel good. But when they make us feel this bad, you almost kind of want to bring them just a little bit closer and have a little bit more evenness. And that's kind of what you get with a team that's one, moved out a lot of players, like lost a lot of players, lost a lot of leadership, lost a lot of veterans out there, and brought in a lot of younger players. So this is kind of what you get. And until they kind of mature as a team, both individually and together, like it's going to continue to just be like a roller coaster. I would say the only saving grace is, at least when they're really good, they're really, really good. There's some teams that will never, ever hit the heights of LAFC. And maybe they would even finish the season with more points, but they're going to be boring to watch.
At least it's not boring.
I'll take that as whatever that is. Hooray. We have really great highs and really bad lows.
Well, we'll hope for another high next week.
I just don't want any more individual performances against us like we had with Mihailovic. I don't want to see that again. Like, the dude was on fire against us with the assist in both goals and drawing the second, well, the foul that led to the second yellow. Like, I'm sick of him, and I don't want to see that kind of opponent single performance against us working like that ever again.
It does seem like next week does not line up well for that in particular. There's a lot of individual talent and obviously the rivalry that is going to pick at that directly. So, yeah, that doesn't look good for us. Anything else before you go? I think we're just about ready to wrap this
up. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for always joining us, as always. I hope you enjoy the fresh air. I could use some. They have fresh air in Colorado, but it didn't help. It's too thin. I really cannot get over how much home field advantage you have in that stadium for what it seemed, at least. I haven't been there, but to me, it really seemed like the vibe was pretty bad. The fans, I mean, I have been told by people who are there that it's a good
The fan section is getting better, but the rest of the stadium is very pedestrian.
It felt like a joke to me, and yet it's probably the hardest stadium to play in all of MLS. Like, that's insane to me.
Well, and LAFC leaned into what their home field advantage was by stretching out the game, chasing after it, and just basically wearing themselves out.
All right. Well, again, I guess all you can say at this point is we hope to see, we're seeing a Jekyll and Hyde, and we hope to see the other one next week.
Sure. I mean, look, I don't know what's going to happen. And that's what the joy of these Galaxy LAFC games are. Like, when has form ever been the determining factor in these games? It really hasn't. And that, I'm not saying that to make myself feel better as if like, oh, well, that means LAFC is going to win. I'm just saying like, you can't predict it. LAFC could be flying high coming to this, and I'd still be terrified of this game. So
I mean, form has not seemed to predict any of our games so far. That maybe the two, did we lose two in a row? I don't know. But we have not looked like the same team three games in a row yet. So
yeah, every game has been very different, which is not a compliment.
No, and it's certainly going to be different with the Galaxy. They're in good form, though, so we'll see. All right. I think that should do it for anything else that we didn't cover that seemed like to stick out and be worth mentioning.
We were pretty thorough. I mean, we were covering like the
dynamics.
For a match
that had a lot going on.
And like how much of the wall should cover up parts of the nets. I think we got it.
I was just trying to learn, you know? I needed to know. We expected this to be a bit of a 1-0, 1-1 game. It turned out to be a whole lot more of a roller coaster than that, and I think
it's definitely much more exciting than most games when we go to Colorado.
Crazy. All right, well, thank you all for hanging out in the chat. This was a lot of fun when we needed it. Thank you for supporting the show. If you want to support the show more, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcast. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can give us a thumbs up. Reviews help. If you're still hanging out with us at this point and you're really enjoying the show, you join the Patreon for $5 a month at patreon.com/happyfootsadfoot. We keep saying it, but very soon we have a lot more merch coming out that will be very fun at happyfootsadfootpod.com. We'll have another preview for you for El Tráfico. Let's rest up and forget this one in time for a memorable one next week. And that's all I got. I love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.